Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
The producer, Mr. Producer of VFN Radio program, the man whose fault it is.
Always.
Well, it is.
Oh, yeah. Usually.
They thought I was making that up.
Yeah, right.
And also, Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Of course, John can't join us this morning. His alarm didn't go off this morning. But he will be joining us hopefully tomorrow. It was jet lag the day before. The alarm today, we don't know what's going on. A little technical difficulties. Be encouraged. I don't have this morning a list of our new listeners, the one that has sat down in our virtual stadium, but I want to say thank you for joining the audience. Have a seat, kick back, relax. Let's begin a conversation that's going to blow your mind that God loves you. God loves mankind. He has a plan, and the enemy's been lying and bringing false hope, but God has true hope. We can do this thing. We can do this thing through Jesus Christ. Good morning, 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 morning. Give a shout out this morning to Southern Florida. Good morning, Cindy. Good morning, Daphne. Good morning, Jackery. Sophia, 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 I'm loving on you. This is me giving you a hug. God is faithful. Give a shout out this morning to Toys R Us in New Jersey. Crank it up. Let them hear the hope. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, we had a wonderful first hour, did we not?
Very good.
It was very good. It was very good. And we, if you weren't with us, you got to go check it out. We kind of gave a little scenario of what it would be like if King David and King Saul were on a debate stage, since the presidential debates start tonight. And it's pretty, when you think about it, was that not accurate? Probably. I mean, you could go really with it for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, many people wouldn't have voted for the man that God voted for, right? His own brothers. Is anybody with me on the radio program today?
Yes.
Okay. I've also, hey.
Good morning.
That they wouldn't have voted for David, but God voted for David. God voted for David, and because he was a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. He was a man after God's own heart. And it's just so amazing. You need to hear it. If you didn't hear it, you need to hear it. You need to hear that first part of the hour. Just hear the whole, I mean, we had a great time. And, of course, you'll find out how I took a bullet. I did take a bullet, by the way. I took a bullet when I was practicing for a game show years ago. It was called, what's that game show on? Now they have it. Wipeout. I was practicing for, not Wipeout, but a program, a show like that years ago. It's called Almost Anything Goes. It's where you have to go through all these different
obstacles.
Obstacle
course.
Thank you, Chris. That is so helpful. Yeah, and obstacles and all that. And I was in a field and I was practicing climbing a rope. Now they just hoist me up now. I just kind of tie myself to the end of the rope and people hoist me. I don't climb ropes anymore, but those were the days. And I was going to climb it up, and I was standing on something, and all of a sudden I got shot. Well, somebody was shooting in the woods. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't see. They couldn't see me or us, and we're standing around, and supposedly, you know, they were shooting at water or something, but their bullets, it just came and hit me right in the leg. I got shot in the leg. Yeah, right close to Second Street.
Figures.
Yeah, right. It probably was Pat.
Maybe.
It may have been.
And I got shot. Mm. This is before I was in law enforcement.
All right.
And it's an interesting feeling to be shot.
I bet.
Because everybody has an imagination what it's like.
Yeah. Chris, you have some experience in that, don't you?
Yeah, I've been shot at a couple times.
Well, shot at and shot. It's a little bit different.
Okay.
And so I'm shot and by a gun, and the bullet hits me in the leg, and it's like, I don't know, imagine Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Mount Rushmore hitting you. It's just like the whole earth just hits you. It's this huge force just hits you. I mean, mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Right.
And I turned around to see who just hit me, because it's like somebody hit you with a bat. Right. It's like somebody hit you with a bat and nobody was there. It was just us, but I looked at where the bat came from, for example, mm-hmm. and nobody was there. And then I saw bullets hitting the sand around me,
mm-hmm.
and then it was throwing the sand up. It was like, doo, 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 doo. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not good. And I was in a big open field, and Daphne was with me there,
yeah,
and some others, and there was this church building that was way down this field. We had to get behind this building. We had to go through. I mean, it wasn't the movies. This was the real deal. Mm. This is my, you know, and my leg was shot, so I couldn't use my one leg, so I had to somehow go on my one leg and hands while everybody else ran left. No, they're
left
all,
you for dead.
And bullets are hitting around us. They're hitting the sand. Like they're following us all the way to the church. Mm-hmm. And sand's playing up. I'm being shot at. We're being shot at. Right. Progressively just following us all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally get behind the church building, and I'm leaning up against the building, and it feels like the bullets in my leg and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary Watson had his a big old huge in the Lincoln Continental in those days, very nice vehicle, and he throws me up in that thing and he lets me bleed in his Lincoln Continental.
Wow.
And takes me to the hospital to take care of me. And Doug Heist was a police officer around that time that came out immediately to help me out. My dad was a county commissioner back then, mm-hmm. and in the same county. And Doug just came out with this intensity to go catch whoever this is who's shooting us in the mm-hmm. woods. And Doug arrests him and bring them in. And it was just, it was a major thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a major thing. And these guys said they were target practicing. It's like, yes, I think we were the targets,
yeah.
And we were running. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was totally amazing. Of course, when that became a deputy, and kind of knew already kind of, that's kind of how it goes as a deputy.
Right.
People don't always like you as a deputy.
Mm-mm.
But Gary let me bleed in his link. I'll never forget that. It was so kind. I don't know why we're talking about being shot. I don't know where that came from. But,
Bullet.
Taking the bullet. So now the toughest thing I do is use a blender called a bullet. And, put my shake mix in my almond milk, and you know, almond milk, the thing about almond milk, it's been around for years, by the way. It's been the milk that's been used for way back, thousands of years.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't produce any of that. Cow's milk for adults produces like mucus and all that kind of stuff in your digestive system, and it prevents, it doesn't do all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so it's another reason. But it's just, yeah, so then my biggest bullet that I take now, I take a shake that's blended in a little blender. It looks like a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking a bullet. I'm just taking the bullet.
Taking the bullet.
And hopefully it'll take a few pounds off. It took 10 off to begin with.
But
be in agreement with me. We have another 10 to go, and it's hiding from me. I mean, I know where it is, but the methodology to remove it,
yeah.
You know, the shake ain't shaking it. And I'm probably going to have to shake it.
Time to go to the next level.
Go to the next level. And, you know, I've been moving. You know, I used to actually use my thumb to push, just one thumb, to move, switch the buttons on the remote control. I think I'm going to begin to use my whole hand to get the cardio in, to get the whole thing switched. No, I'm messing with you. That's not, that's somewhat. Anyway, I mean, I figure you can watch the news and your stress level goes up so high. I figure you could lose 10 pounds just watching that. It's like the, the anxiety is like, oh my God, are you really that stupid? Do you really believe this? Oh my goodness. And I'm gaining weight. It's like stress actually causes you to gain weight. I'm relaxed. I'm relaxed. That's what it is. Pat's never stressed. You can eat Fritos when you're not stressed. I am hoping that we get to this morning. I'm hoping that we get to a new segment in Germany that I got a chance to see that will remind us of the original intent. I'm going to talk about two original intents this morning in this extra hour of America, the founding fathers. And I'm going to talk about rethinking church again. I want to talk about the original intent of the church, you know, and begin to these conversations. But I had a chance to you know, be watching DW and news, and they're talking about this is today. This is not history. This is today. This is in Germany,
right?
And what we're going to hear in the program called Agenda, she's interviewing three men about the two men and one woman about the government and unemployment, but then they start talking about the church, and the church actually has candidates and is written into the Constitution.
Wow.
And what you're going to hear about their dilemma is that they're talking about that it's a theocracy type.
And this is in Germany.
This is in Germany today. And this is where our founding fathers came from. They came from the king. The king said that there was only one church and he was the one over it. And to leave the church at that time was to commit treason. Well, they kind of did it a little bit differently now. And I'm hoping, I'm gonna play this so you can hear this. And you got to hear this interview. You've got to hear this interview, and we'll talk about it. But you have to get the context of it, because the government in Germany is collecting the tithe of the church. The government. Listen up.
People have been leaving both the Protestant and the Catholic churches in Germany in droves.
Now listen, so it's not just America. They're talking, the issue is they're noticing that people are leaving the church by droves. This is why, let me tell you something. We are the church. Understand when most people are talking about the church, especially the world, they're talking about buildings, organizations, they're talking about hierarchy. But we know as believers, the church is people. And we have to rediscover that vocabulary again. So, but when they're talking about an organization. They're talking about, you know, they're leaving by the droves. And this is the world talking about the church, and you'll find out more. Listen up.
And at least some blame Germany's long-established system of tithing.
Germany's Catholic bishops have decreed that members of the faith in the country can be denied sacraments if they opt out of a religious tax.
They can be denied sacraments if they opt out of a religious tax. Think about it. And in regards to how they see sacraments is you're not going to go to heaven.
Wow.
So if you opt out, they're selling salvation. They're selling. But this is what was going on. This is to remind us of the founding fathers. And why the Constitution is written like it's written, and why the Declaration of Independence says what it says, and why the First Amendment is what it is. Right now, they're saying that if you fail to pay the church tax through the government, right now, today, today, that you will be denied sacraments into their doctrine. That means that you're not going to go to heaven. Well, listen up.
The decision has thrown a spotlight on Germany's tax system that allows believers to pay up to 9% of their income to their church. Grassroots advocates argue that Catholics who opt out have not lost their faith.
Understand this. They're allowing, the government is allowing German government is allowing Christians. Mm-hmm. First of all, those two words should, those things should not go together. Allowing them to pay 9%. And we have to understand, church, the government doesn't allow us to do anything. We obey God. Mm-hmm. And if God, you know, if government is against God, we still obey God. But this is what happens. And this is where America's at. We call it, you know, nonprofit 501c3s. And the government allows me to do this. The government doesn't allow you. You just obey God. And the original government of America was in agreement with God. And it wasn't until like 1950s did LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson, senator then, push through something without even getting a discussion on it, which caused this 501c3 thing to happen, which is a nonprofit organization, and put some clamp on the governmental clamp on the church. But understand this, that it's not true.
Right.
But this is what's happening in Germany right now today. Right now today, they allow them to pay 9%. They even gave him 1% off what God
gave
says in his word.
Gave him a discount.
Germany's bishops, on the other hand, say it is not possible to partially leave the church. In recent years, hundreds of thousands of German Catholics have decided to stop paying the surcharge. That has put a big dent in the church's annual income of 5 billion euros.
Understand, that's 5 billion euros for the German Catholic Church. And they decided to opt out of paying the surcharge.
Oh my God!
But this is it. This is religion, folks. This is institutionalized religion, and this is what America is. You can say what you want to. We're just prettier at it. We have more, you know, more hair product, probably, you know, and we do it a little bit more contemporary. But really, you think about it, and you know, we're going to talk about rethinking the church. But this is kind of understanding rethinking America and our original intent. Of America. This is what they were coming away from. That's why the pilgrims got on the boat and started coming to America, because prior to that, they could not worship God freely. The church was saying, you know, there's no such thing as leaving, quote, the church, you know, and they began to tell them wrong, false doctrine. And what they're trying to do is control them instead of them following God. So they came to America to worship God freely. Well, listen up to this.
Part of the reason for the drain has been child abuse scandals in Germany. With the Catholic Church in crisis over the issue of abuse, some members of the faith say the decision on religious tax is sending the wrong signal.
You notice that, you know, when all this happened with the child abuse situation with the church, that the enemy just went in and began to just totally deconstruct it. But you know what? That is what has the church turned into? What have we turned into? I mean, if we leave God and try to do it religiously. Then we're actually giving ourselves over to some sort of controlling, what we would define as, you know, a Jezebelic Ahab type spirit, which you're going to be bowing down to Jezebel's gods,
right?
You know, and it's just peripherally, all these things are going on. Well, this is enough.
Also presents moral and ethical dilemmas to millions of German believers.
Hans-Joachim Meyer, the critics are using a rather harsh word for this practice. They say it amounts to a modern form of the medieval indulgence.
Isn't that wild? Now she's starting her interview. They did the introductory piece, and they're talking about the medieval indulgence. And that's when, you know, prior to the Gutenberg printing press and getting the word out, that the church kind of held captive the scriptures, and they didn't want anybody to read the word, because they read the word, they would find out that they were indulging in the wealth and the riches of the people in the church, and everybody else was in poverty. Right. And they're comparing it to the Dark Ages. Isn't that wild? The Dark Ages.
The present regulation about church taxes hasn't anything to do with Middle Ages. It's not medieval, but it's based on a democratic constitution of Germany, which was adopted in 1919. And the church articles of this constitution were integrated into the federal constitution of 1949.
So he's saying that in 1919, they made constitutional provision. They integrated religion and government, and it said that they can pay this tax, this fee, what we would call a tithe, or, you know, honoring God. Through the government. They made it part of their constitution. They made it part of their law. And we have to understand when they say separation of church and state, they're talking about, listen, the two shall have not, that the government shall make no laws concerning the church. But the church does not turn to government for existence.
Right.
We are, therefore they are. It's not they are, therefore we are.
Right.
It's we are, therefore they are in regards to American, how it's founded. But listen up.
This is, hasn't anything to do with Middle Ages. It is a modern system. In Germany, we haven't got separation of state and church, but independence of state from the church and of the church from the state, and this opens up a field of cooperation. And in the Constitution of Weimar of 1919, churches got the status of bodies of public law, and as such, they have the constitutional right to collect taxes, which you may also call fees.
Or tithing. We might even call it tithing.
The point is that in the Constitution, the state guaranteed that the state, on behalf of the church, would collect it.
Okay.
But if you do no longer want to support the church, if you are no longer a believer, you may leave the church.
But isn't it?
Think about that. So they made the church merged with the government and said, you can collect this. And they wrote it into their constitution.
Yeah.
And he says, but listen, you know, you can leave the church if you're no longer a believer. Well, hold a minute. When we make a building, an organization, an institution, the church, instead of you, the church, first of all, you think and begin to criticize the building, the organization, in the institution, not realizing you are the church and you hold them accountable to what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, then they tell you, if you leave this building, if you leave our organization, you're no longer a believer. That's exactly what our founding fathers had a huge issue with, because the king was not supposed to be over the church.
Right.
You know, he was not supposed to be over the Church of England. So they said, fine, keep this, after much loss and them trying to hurt them. And granted, they're not, you know, that I know of, they're not, you know, coming after these guys. But they are telling them, listen, you know, fine, you want to leave the church, you're no longer a believer, just go. I mean, those two statements together is saying you lose your salvation if you leave the building. No, Jesus left the building.
Right.
And followed Jesus. Listen to this.
Essentially, the bishops are saying here, we'll give you our sacraments if you pay this money, this tax. Isn't that almost like selling sacraments?
No.
Think about it. You got to pay to pray. Isn't that like selling? When you say selling sacraments, what they're saying in the context of that is selling salvation, selling forgiveness.
Crazy.
It's today. This is just yesterday. This just happened. We didn't have this technology.
Yeah.
This is right on DW just yesterday when they're talking about economies and the church is all intertwined in it today. Listen up.
Church is a sacramental community. If you are no longer a member of the church, you are not a member of the sacramental community.
Tell us where the money goes. As I understand it, people are paying up to, say, 9% of their income for the church tax. What is that money going toward?
Well, to church activities within the church and also in society, in education, in the field of social activities, and many other respects.
Kindergartens, hospitals,
and so on. As far as I know, 70% of church expenditure are covered by the church tax.
Understand that. 70% of the Catholic Church, or at the church in Germany, 70% that money comes from the government who collected it from people who understood they're not going to get sacraments, forgiveness, salvation, if you would,
right,
if they didn't pay it. Right. 70%. 70% of, and you're going to find out in just a moment, it's the one of the wealthiest churches in the world. Or at least the wealthiest organizations.
Right.
The strange thing is about the present conflict that, for example, the expression of grassroots advocate was used.
In our report.
Professor Zapp, who really started this conflict, is anything else than a grassroots advocate. He is a highly conservative man, and his motives are totally different. I think it's not unfair to assume that his idea is that the church in Germany at present is not traditional enough, is not conservative enough. And we know, of course, that there are prelates in Rome who think that the German church is not obedient enough and too self-confident because it is too rich. So this is a real front. And
it doesn't
fit into the usual journalist church bashing, which makes, of course, fun.
So all of a sudden now the church becomes some government entity. See, the America Constitution was not written so that it could be a theocracy. The American Church Constitution was written so that we can worship God freely, and if we want to be in government offices, we can do it without changing our faith in God, that we can still stand up for God. The government should have not be involved in collecting, you know, our tithes and 70% of the wealth, 70% of the wealth. You got to hear this next on the panel because he's talking about America next. Mm-hmm. This economist is talking about America, and he's talking about, I mean, you got to hear it, but he's saying the reason why Americans have to have faith and the reason why the church is doing what it's doing in America is because they don't have socialism. If they had socialism like us, they wouldn't need their faith. Listen, we'll be right back. Yeah, you know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God, people would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app. You have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer, and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes you'll sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Is God speaking to me?
Have you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually, that God desires to speak to you, and he's going to speak to you through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through his word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what he's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much he loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with him and hear his voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something. That was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We just love how Chris did the spot for us. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and Chris. We were just talking about today, what's happening right this very moment on the face of the earth in Germany, as they're talking about, and you can find out more about it. You can just go to the VFN Torch and see this whole thing. They're going to make it available for you on the VFN Torch. But this whole interview is very stimulating, and realize, you know, listen to the whole interview, and about halfway so they're going to break into the context of what I'm sharing with you, but understand they're talking about the economy, and the economy is tied into the church there, and saying 70% of the monies that are received by the church in Germany comes through the government, who taxes people for sacrament that they cannot get sacraments in. They say you're not a believer if you leave. And are you ready to be the church? And that's what we're hopefully going to talk about after this segment. If not, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but it's just time to be the church. I mean, you should be saying right now, if you're reading the word, all 17% of you.
Yeah.
And if you're concerned about where you are in the context of what you're reading, all 3% of you, you should be saying, what's going on? Are you serious? But yes, this is exactly what our founding fathers came from. And that's why they're willing to die, for us to have the right to be the church and to worship God freely. But listen what how they describe America and where we are right now, because the argument right now, which is a different viewpoint, or different viewpoints, you know, that is, people are saying they want the government to take care of them. And some people are saying God takes care of us. And some people are saying, well, there is a way that God takes care of us through government, but God is the one who's over. You know what I'm saying? It's not one, it's like, it's all of us working together. And this is how they describe the Western world, us. And listen up.
The church taxes itself. Karl Ludwig Holtfrerich, we sometimes hear talk of Germany being a post-Christian country. Do you think that's right?
Well, then it would be right for other countries in Europe also.
So what they're saying is that Europe as a whole is post-Christian. They're no longer Christian. But yet they're still being a organization that they're proclaiming is the church. Isn't that wild? That's totally wild. He said, if you point your finger at us in Germany, you got to point your finger at all of Europe. They say 1%, last I heard, 1% are believers. What? And when we're seeing, wow, you know, Islam through mm-hmm. immigration take over, they're saying it will be a Islamic nation ruled by the Quran in a very short period of time, because they're just population-wise, they're winning through immigration and kind of taking over. Listen up.
My observation is that in France, where there is no church tax, churches have become as empty as here in Germany.
So she's understanding, saying the reason why the church is not growing anymore, the reason why we're post-Christian Germany, is because, I mean, look at France, he says. When they quit, you know, having the government collect money for the church, then they started, he's thinking it's all about money. It's we can actually continue religion. We can be very religious if we just keep funding it, and we get the government who will force people to pay. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Listen up.
The more religious country, the United States, clearly more religious than a European country, I think has to do with the fact that they don't have what some critics of Obama call European socialism. They need beliefs for getting a feeling of security. And it has a tradition, maybe the 19th century, when you were living out west somewhere, then you needed some sense of security, and it was a church that...
You have to understand that. What he's saying is, we're so confident And we're so secure because we actually have socialism. We don't need to trust God. We don't need faith in God. We don't need belief. But let me explain to you why that the church has the faith and the belief that they have in America and the West. It's because they don't have socialism. Mm-hmm. Get a clue, America. He's saying once your government starts providing for your people, people turn away from God. They turn away from God. Once, this is the plan. This is the plan. You know, socialism is the front door to communism. Communism is nothing but government replacing God. It's a fight. It's a battle between God, man and God. And it's not between anybody else, but just an affront to God. And he's saying is the reason why there's so much faith and belief in America is because they don't have socialism. Which is socialism is where the government provides all your services. And what's happening right now is the government's beginning to provide all these services, and people are saying we want them to provide services. Why? Because America's turning away from God. We're saying that God can't provide for us. If we open the door, if we throw the doors open to socialism, church, we're talking to the church here. We're not talking to the world. Even radio is to the church believers. That, and it's to those that have backslidden, that have gone back, and we're calling you back home. And it's also to those who the Lord's drawing you to himself. And that's what we're talking to. We're not talking to the world.
Right.
That if we open the door to socialism, you think it's hard ground now to win people to the Lord, to get them to let go of false gods and false idols and government as God? Do you think your ministry's tough now? Do you think trying to convince your family that God is the provider and not government is difficult now? You haven't seen nothing. If you slam the doors open and throw them wide open to socialism, and that's where we are right now, then this is what happens. And he goes, oh, the reason why the Americans have the viewpoint that they have, they don't have socialism, you know, what they call the argument that's happening right now with Barack Obama, is they don't have socialism. It's like, dude, come on. They just told us. That's why they're looking at us in amazement. These countries are looking at us and say, are you really giving up? Are you giving up your blessing? You're the richest nation on the face of the earth. You're the strongest nation on the face of the earth. You're the most blessed nation outside of Israel on the face of the earth. Everybody's tried to imitate you. You're the only one where people are trying to get over your borders to come in to succeed. And you're giving this up?
Wow.
And you understand, you give it up. You give up the sovereignty of your nation. You give up your constitution. You give up your democracy the moment you turn to socialism and say that government is going to provide for me. Government's going to provide for me. They can do a better job. And he says, he's like, you know, that's why these Westerners, you know, they have to have faith in God because they don't have a government they can make and demand to pay them the monies and meet their things and needs. But, you know, they need that. They need that. That's the argument with Obama. And it's like, yeah, he's telling us a secret.
Wow.
Do we want socialism? Listen, church, we have to die with this revelation. We cannot surrender over to, and I can't, if it's by God and it's this is God's predetermined thing for our nation because we went too far, you know, you can't stop that. But you want to stand up for what's right. I mean, even Jeremiah, when you think about Jeremiah was chosen by God. He was chosen by God. And appointed to go tell everybody what God laid on his heart. And he did it. He did it for 40 years. For 40 years, he told everybody what God was saying. And for 40 years, not one person, Pat, not one person responded to what God was laying on Jeremiah's heart to tell his people. And we're not talking the world here. We're talking God's people did not respond.
Right.
So it is possible to have somebody telling you in your midst that this is not right, and the majority, if not all, of God's people going in the wrong direction. For 40 years. Imagine what happened in 40 years. And for 40 years, he sat here, and every day he would share what God laid on his heart, and he would prophesy, and he would tell them, and they would lock him up, and they would tell him he was wrong and he was a liar and he's just a troublemaker and all these different things. They tried to do him in and did all these different things to him. But you know what? He was actually sharing what God was saying, and God's people didn't even want to hear it. And he was confronting God's people for the very same thing that this DW News is talking about with this interview on the Agenda program that you can see on the VFN Torch, going, listen, you can't, church, you cannot integrate and turn this our relationship into God, into men's religions and philosophies that hold God's people captive, that make his word of non-effect. I mean, this is a huge deal. This is a huge deal. We should never confidently say, you know, hey, we need government to replace God.
Right.
But if you haven't yet, go to VFN TV and watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. SOS, you know, when your ship is in trouble, when you're stranded on an island somewhere, or you need somebody to help you, they have a message that a ship's going down like the Titanic. They're tapping out a message, you know, SOS, you know, and you can hear, hopefully, let's get that for the radio program so we can get the sound. And we want to have that in, and so you can hear what it sounds like, tapping out a SOS. And that's what we're doing. We're just tapping it out. And the thing is that, are we going to understand that America is a ship that's in trouble, and we need to send, and it's called SOS, and it means save our ship. And we need God to save America, save the Constitution, save the church from where we're going. And the SOS stands for, it's either going to be Samuel, which is God's form of government, apostolic government, or it's going to be Saul, which is man's form of government, because right. They wanted a king like everybody else had. Mm-hmm. Oh, America says, oh, well, look over there. They have socialism. You know, I had somebody I was speaking to from Denmark, and Denmark is a socialistic government, and somebody was unemployed for I don't know how long. And while they're unemployed, they're sending them to school. I mean, we're talking about like a year or something. And he says, I don't care if I ever get a job. I mean, I'm getting unemployed. I'll go to school. I don't have a problem with that. And it's like, that's not good. That's not good at all. You shouldn't like, I have no problem paying all my check in taxes. That's what he said. I have no problem. Wow. That's what he said. I have no problem paying more money in taxes. Well, first of all, he didn't have a job. He wasn't paying any taxes, but he was living off. What he's really saying is, I don't care if everybody pays a whole bunch of taxes because I'll never have to work. That's what he was really saying, right? If he didn't have a job.
Yeah, that's right.
And that only works for so long until somebody starts looking at you saying, like, you know, hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. And he hadn't had a job for almost a year. He was getting educated, but he didn't. At the same time, when he's not paying any taxes in Denmark, he said, you know, I don't care if I pay even more tax, because like 50% of their income is paying taxes, maybe 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And because government is taking care of everything now.
Right.
And when you heard, you know, some interviews of our president, he was talking about taxed at 100% at some point in his when he was talking about it. And what he's saying is, listen, give me all your money and I can manage it better. Give me all your money and I can provide for you health care. I can provide for you whatever you need, transportation. And that's what 100%. Somebody says, well, how can it be 100% tax? It can be 100% tax when you no longer are in the equation and somebody's making decisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So 100% tax means this. You are a subject of the government. No longer is a government a subject of you. It's no longer a government by the people and for the people. It's now that a people that's by the government and for the government. It's the opposite.
Right.
So the higher the tax goes, whoever controls the money controls the vision, and then they determine which way it's going to go. So you could be taxed at 100% and you still can eat, you know, the pot. Could I have some porridge, please? Can I have some porridge? You know, Oliver in his orphanage. I don't know if you've seen that years ago, but he's like, can I have some more porridge, please, sir? And they slap this oatmeal and stuff in his bowl. And I mean, they're already saying things like, you can't have a big Coke. You can live in smaller places. We need to track you. They've given out more now. I know that I'm going to give a shout out this morning to Mark, but Mark had sent me some information about how they're not 12 million phones, but I think it's 15 million cell phones they're giving out. So the right in America now, the government is saying you need food. You need food and cell phones. And so that's what's going to happen. You have to understand if they slam, and we're so close, it's like a hair line away. And that's why you see all these wrong things going on. You see these openly denial of reality going on. And when you see people basically lying through their teeth, they're buying time. They're buying time to just get through this next election. Mm-hmm. Because there's people behind the scenes that have set all this stuff up. All of these rules and regulations. I mean, can you imagine trying to change the driver's license office? Could you imagine trying? I mean, nothing against the driver's. I'm not talking about the people there, but the stuff that they have to do because government controls them. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the people. I mean, if you work at the driver's license office, thank God for a job.
All right.
But imagine trying to change them. I remember when, I know politicians that had ran for office and they were going to do all this great leading, but they found out there was so much bureaucracy that they couldn't do anything because the county employees, the state employees, the city employees, the federal employees, they would not let it happen. But they weren't elected. It was actually the other person that was elected. So bureaucracy, I know, is that those things are already put in place already. And there's been so many policies and procedures put in place right now that it doesn't matter who wins in this election coming up, the bureaucracy is already put in place. Mm-hmm. The bureaucracy is already put in place.
Right.
And to revelation-wise, that's like Jehoiakim. That's like Josiah's son. That when God began to deal with the nation, his people, he let Josiah live for a few years in the context because Josiah was a king that obeyed him. But after Josiah died, there was a set man that was put in place by permission of God, empowered by the put in place and chosen, even though he was Josiah's son, he was chosen by Egypt to put him in place. We got this whole scenario in our face. It's like, Hello. But God, and I really believe that our president, President Barack Obama, the reason why there's so much bureaucracy is because God is cranking down on a rebellious church.
Yeah.
And what Jehoiakim did when he got in place, he taxed him to the hilt. Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't complain about taxes. We should fall to our knees and repent before we've done to God.
Right. Good.
And don't blame, don't kill the messenger. Don't complain to the messenger that God sends and says, you've been in rebellion to God. Therefore, God's put me in this place to be able to humble you. Mm-hmm. And so Jehoiakim, and that wasn't Josiah's son's name, but when he got put in place by Egypt, and it's interesting as you find out, is America under God's judgment? Also, go to VFNTV and watch Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You got to see that. Mm-hmm. You'll be so surprised how God already let us know what's taking place and what's about to take place and what we need to do. And that he our president went to Egypt to give his first speech in Cairo. And of course, the Muslim Brotherhood was empowered through that and all that. But understand this, we've been in rebellion. The church has been in rebellion to God. And you see what the German church is doing right now, and it's like, really? Mm-hmm. And is it much different in America? Much difference to it. And so I know we're coming to an end, but I want to be able to say the next man that comes after Jehoiakim, which Jehoiakim means set man,
right,
is Zedekiah. And Jehoiakim led God's people into a wrong relationship with Egypt, Islam.
Right.
But Zedekiah led God's people, who was also appointed by Egypt, into bondage to Babylonian captivity. And his name, Zedekiah, means God is just.
Right.
That alone should put the fear of God in you. So you know what? I'm gonna make my life right. I'm gonna do what's right before. I don't care what anybody else is saying. No witnesses or suspects. God, I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna quit complaining about the government. Quit complaining about this organization. I'm gonna start being the church. I'm gonna start hanging out with you, God. I'm gonna begin to abide with you. Listen, if you have not yet started to abide with God, now's your time.
That's all right.
You want to hear His voice now? It's gonna be difficult on the other side. Go to iabide.org and get your plan today. iabide.org today. If you're not a part of a fellowship that is hanging out with God, that's hearing what God's saying, you try to wake up the people that you're at. You know, begin to talk to them about, you know, we need to begin to a personal transformation, and that's available for you, starting with you. You know, transformation, personal transformation on the VFN torch, and begin to see how you can change. Then you can change people around you, and all of you guys could be focusing and hearing the voice of God. But if nobody wants to change, run for your life and get with a fellowship of believers who are not going to sell you out when the kings of this world say you have to do this or do that. You just want to obey God. You know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and they feared not their life unto death. Well, God bless. You've been listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Don't forget, live all day long, VFN Radio. Catch us on the app. Get your app at vfntv.com. VFN Radio, God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.